We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
So good to be able to come together and do that with like-minded believers. We get it. You and I get it. We're not special. We're just redeemed. And I pray that you know Him as Lord and Savior. I pray that you have a personal relationship with Him. That's why you're here. You want to know more about Christ. You want to worship together. You want to be able to sing about how He got rid of the past. He doesn't hold the past over you anymore. You are free, free, free in Christ. Last week, I had somebody, second service, walk out the door. They're like, man, I wish I could take you with me. I'm like, well, I can't just go with you. It's like equip the saints to go out and do the work of ministry. I can't go with you. But the cool thing is, remember, we've got the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God indwells you as a believer. If you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have everything you need pertaining to life and godliness. And remember that Luke 12:12 passage. He will bring everything to remembrance at that very moment. He will put in your mouth the words that you need. This morning has been referenced multiple times. It's a little different. It is different, but I want to find a pen, piece of paper, find something to write on inside your bulletin there. You're going to take notes. I want to encourage you to take notes this morning. I want you to write this down. We're going to go through a whole lot of scripture. I want to give you those scripture. And what these are verses that basically you can give to somebody around you. And let me go ahead and say at the very beginning, this isn't go out there and post this on social media. Don't go take these verses and say, hey, my preacher said read this. It had nothing to do about that, okay? How effective is the social media? Because the same other junk, I mean, it gets kind of blurry, you know? The junk we talk about on social media and then all of a sudden we're going to be super spiritual. We got to be careful with that at times. Be very, very careful with it. So what I would encourage you, the whole purpose of this is for you to have it and for you to, I don't know, start a Bible study, have a Bible study, work through these verses, work through them or I don't know, put them in a card, write somebody a letter, write them a card, send them a postcard, I don't care, a co-worker, give them a note, do something. I want you to be able to have at your disposal resources, a tool. And it's the Word of God. It's verses in the Word of God. It's not complicated or anything new at all. It's just in a form to where it tells a story. It takes people from where they are away from God to a relationship with Christ, and it's all found in the Word of God. So the first verse this morning, go to Genesis 1:1. Write down Genesis 1, Genesis 1:1. That's where we go in first. And the verses will be on the screen at the very end. I'll have all these verses. You'll be able to pull your cameras out and take a picture of them all, but there's just something about taking your copy of God's Word and flipping in it. There's just something to it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We want people to know where it all begins. We want people to have a solid foundation, not on what the world teaches, but what on Scripture teaches. The truth of God's Word, it starts with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's foundational. We have a sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, intelligent creator God who spoke out of nothingness everything that we have around us. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Next one is Genesis chapter 2. Flip over with me. Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. Write down Genesis 2:15-17 says this. Remember, as you've read, most of you know, you've read through Scripture, God created Adam and Eve, put them there in the garden, and here's where He gives them some very important instructions. He says, verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you may not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. God has a holy standard, and that standard is do exactly what he says do. You don't deviate from it. So there we have, God created the heavens and the earth. God did it in the very beginning. He created man and he put him there in the garden and he said you could do anything you want to except that one thing. And we know what happens right down chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, the entire chapter is worth a read. An entire chapter is the explanation of the fall of man. People must. Here's the deal. You can sit there and you can beat them on the head with it. You can sit there and you can call them names and do all of that, but I found that's probably not the most effective way. But when we allow the Spirit of God and we're praying for him and we're allowing the Spirit of God to take his word and transform the soul, God radically does something. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he put a man and woman there in the garden and said you could do anything you want except that one thing. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, we read that. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? He started with putting doubt in the woman's mind. And the woman said to the serpent, From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. Again, more doubt. He begins to question God. Is God's rule stuck? Is it fixed? Or does it move? See, the devil is always about moving the goalpost, and God's like, it doesn't move. Christ is enough. I said, don't eat it. And the devil's like, did he really mean it? He didn't really mean it. That's what chapter 3 is about. First part of it, the devil comes and he tempts Eve in verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight for the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Look at verse 8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and the wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? And the man starts, the man blames the woman, and the woman blames the serpent, and you just continue to read. Sin enters the picture, and you get all the way down to the end of chapter 3. God, a relationship that had been, here's what the Bible does not tell us. It does not give us time frames here. We know that God came walking in the cool of the midst of the day. How many times had God come walking in the cool of the midst of the day? How many times before this do we have? But what we have at the very end of this chapter is God kicks man and woman out of the garden. The relationship that once was has been kicked and separated, and man no longer has a relationship with God. Even puts the fiery serpents looking all different directions so that they do not re-enter. Go over to Romans. Write down Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23 says this: the consequences that happened, the fallout of that disobedience there in the garden, had a universal effect on all man, woman, boy, and girl that had ever been born, that has ever been born since that moment. Scripture says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every person sins. We all sin. This is a universal issue. Look up at chapter 3, verse 10. Write down Romans chapter 3, 10 through 18. Read that together with me. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they keep deceiving. The poison of asp is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the paths of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before them. Church, the consequences of sin, when it entered the picture, it devastated the relationship. It devastated humanity's walk. God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. And once sin, once that disobeying moment took place, it was passed down to every person, every single one of us in this room. We understand. We know what lying is. We know we cheat. We know we steal. We know we disobey. And God is not going to let that into his perfect heaven. Look over at James chapter 4. Write down James chapter 4, verse 17. Look at what Scripture says in the Bible. You say, well, what about people don't know? Yes, they do. The Bible says they clearly do. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. That is a very simple definition of what sin is. The right thing, I know I should do right. When I don't do it, I have sinned. I have disobeyed a holy and righteous God. Because here's the deal. God has put truth in the heart of every person. God has planted in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls a moral compass that lets them know truth. You say, well, where do you get that? Go right down. Romans chapter 1. Write down 18 through 31. Romans chapter 1. Look at that with me. Look at Romans chapter 1. And this is what people will argue about this. Listen to what the Word of God says. And remember, you've taken these verses and you've slipped it over. Listen, I'm not talking to you guys. I'm not talking to you this morning. I'm assuming that you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, or you wouldn't be here. But listen, if you do not know Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I hope you're paying really close attention. But I'm not talking to you. I'm not here to convince you. I'm not trying to get you, a believer in God's Word, who's been sealed with the Spirit of God as a promise and hope for the future. I'm not here to convince you. I'm here to give you, this is a tool this morning. This is a resource to be able to take it to people who do not know. And here's the deal. Those people that do not know, they need Jesus. They are in desperate need of a Savior because they know something's wrong. Romans chapter 1 verse 18 reads this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them." It was God that put it there. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what he has made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God, or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculation, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie." Remember in the garden, that's where it started. Did God really say? Satan's still twisting it today. There's absolute truth. There's a holy standard, and Satan is still twisting it today. Did God really say, and men are still doing this very thing? God gave them over, verse 25, "For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all ungodliness and wickedness and greed and evil and full of envy and murder and strife, deceit and malice. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. That's what sin looks like to him who is doing that, to him who knows the right thing to do and does not do it. To him it is sin. It is a universal issue. It is a universal problem. Write down Romans 6:23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says this. Guys, the consequences of sin is dire. These words are not just merely words to hear. These words are words to change us, to transform us, to convict us of truth, and to show us the error of our way. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, spiritual death, eternal separation from God." Just like that happened there in the garden, man walked with God. God kicked him out of his presence. Sin will kick you for eternity out of the presence of God. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift. What is that gift? Write down John 3:16. John 3:16. We all know that verse, but I'm going to turn there and I'm going to read it for you, because they're going to be turning in their own copy of God's Word and they're going to be reading this. And many, you never know, may be reading it for the very first time. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God did for humanity what humanity could not do for himself. God sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross of Calvary so that you and I could be brought back into a relationship with God. Look at, write down Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, 6 through 8 reads this. It says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly." See, the world understands verse 7. "For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare to die." But verse 8 blows their mind. "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." See, salvation doesn't come when you get good. Salvation doesn't happen when a person says, "You know what, I'm going to start acting right." No, salvation comes when they put their trust and their faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. Romans, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5:21 reads this. Church, what He did for us there on Calvary, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." What He did is He substituted Christ in our place. The punishment that you and I deserve, it was us that rebelled in the garden. It was us that turned the truth of God on its head and started worshiping the created rather than the Creator. It was us, but God sent His Son Jesus. And He died on a cross, and there on Calvary, He poured out His wrath on the sin of all of us. And while Christ is there on Calvary, He is substituting. He has taken my place. He has taken your place. Romans 10. You say, "Brother Shannon, what do I do? Here's the deal. Romans chapter 10. Write it down. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. They're reading and they're seeing how awesome God is, how he instead of punishing them, punished his son instead. And their hearts are screaming, I want this Jesus. What do I do? I want this forgiveness. You got me. I am a sinner. Tag. That's me. You win. I give up mercy. What do I do? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Look at verse 13. Can you imagine for the very first time they read that and they say, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord to be saved, and they cry out to Jesus for forgiveness and they confess him as Lord and they repent and quit running after their own desires and start pursuing after him. What happens? Write down Romans 8:1. What happens to a person when they trust Christ as Lord and Savior? Their sins are forgiven. They're made brand new. The Bible says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Those that were enemies are brought close. Those that were kicked out were made part of the family. Those who had no hope were given all hope. Write down 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. Look at what Scripture says. The Bible says this. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. See, when God brings a person from death to life, there's a newness. He is a new creation from top to bottom. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us, here we go, church, us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Look at here. Here you are. You want to see you in Scripture? Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Look over at Romans chapter 10. Write down Romans 10. Write it down. Romans 10. Write 14 and 15. Look at what Scripture says. You know people, y'all. You know people. You have them at work, you have them at school, you have them in your social group, you have them as neighbors, you have them around you all the time. Listen, this is not a sermon. This is not a sermon for you to walk out the door at the end of the sermon and say, hey, I needed that. Hey, that was a good one. Preacher, I appreciate that. No, this is a message for you to take what the Spirit of God has given you there written down on the screen for you to take to a lost and dying world, because they need this Jesus. They need forgiveness. They need salvation. Scripture says over in Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they're sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Look at Romans. Write down Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Guys, the Bible tells us, Paul writes to the church here in Rome, and he says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the good news. I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There's universal hope for every person. If there is an individual, you say, Brother Shannon, you don't know how bad they are. It doesn't matter how bad they are. It shouldn't matter to you how bad they are. They're in front of you. Something, get it to them. Say, hey, read this. I need you to look at this. Read through these. Find time in your day. Check this out. Again, don't go plaster it somewhere. Don't go say, hey, I was at Chapel Hill. Good for you. Who cares if you're in church today if you leave this on the table? Who cares if you showed up today and don't tell nobody about it? Don't go share the sermon and say, hey, take 50-something minutes out of your day and watch this. How many are going to do that? You know they're not, but it makes us feel good when we thumbs up, attaboy, heart, share, love, all that stuff. And we feel super spiritual when they're physically right there beside you all day long. We'll talk about upcoming Roll Tide and War Eagle Tigers, and we'll talk about hunting and fishing. We'll talk about useless things that do not lead to eternity. But it is appointed unto man once to die, and then there's going to be a judgment. And at that judgment, the only thing that matters is what did you do with this Jesus? Church, that's a tool. That's a tool. That's truth. Christ is hope. You have hope. You are, I said it last week, you're a gift to this community. You're a gift to your work. You're a gift to your class. You're a gift to your organization. You are the light of the world. You stand up as based on the Word of God. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ Himself. You're a spokesperson for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Put it up there. Put the big picture up here. Everybody take your phone out. There they are. Take your phone out. Take a picture of that. There they are. There they are. There they are. Write it down. Put it on. Hey, look, when you're seeing Christmas cards, when you're seeing happy birthday cards, when you're seeing get well cards, when you're seeing whatever kind of card, I don't care. Say, hey, read these. Walk through these. Check this out. Hey, because that's the words of life. Is there more? Yes, there's more. The whole book. But that's a tool. That's a nugget. That's a glimpse into His goodness and His glory of how He brought us from a place of hopeless separation from God to a place of newness in life that can only be found in Jesus. This morning, I want us to, everybody bow your head. Everybody bow your head. I want us to take time. We're going to pray this morning. Who is this for? Who in your circle was this for? Who in your group was this for? Maybe on your ball team, maybe in your group, maybe in your class, maybe at your work. Listen, you cannot sit there and say, well, I didn't need that. Yes, you did. You needed that. Guys, there could be just one. There could be just one of you in this room that the Spirit of God. Here, let me do this. Father God in heaven, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would lay on the hearts of your sons and your daughters people that are in desperate need of a Savior right now. Who are they? Make them think of them, Lord.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's Word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.